mortar and bolt with a bunch of fancy gear, crepe steaks, you north and lures.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have Mark, which is come up with a great idea that we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the program. And we are going to be trying now to see if we can learn a little bit about, if you happen to be successful in your catching and you want to know what to do with it, we're going to see if we can get in touch with an expert on that. But I just did get back from Mexico and brought some fish with me, and the way that it was processed and done, it'll last for 6 months or a year. And we'll let you know a little bit more about that in just a couple of minutes. And we are a little bit unusual today, because normally we have reports from Baja. We had three people lined up, but you know, even in this modern age, self-service doesn't always work the way it's supposed to. So we're going to see if we can maybe cut in a little bit later on. But in the meantime, we've got Mark, and then we're going to see if we can bring in, we've got Eric from Butcher and Packer, hopefully on the radio there. Is he there? Okay.
Hello. And,
okay, Eric, do we have you?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic, Eric. You're now on Fish Talk Radio, and what we'd talk a little bit about, I just got back from Baja and had some fish processed down there. Actually, I've got my own vacuum machine down there. But we'd like to know from an expert how you can take your catch and the very best way, because I know in my freezer I've got fish that's over 6 months old, some a year, and it's just fine. So give us an idea how this can happen. Now, Butcher and Packer is it's not somebody's two brothers' names. It's you supply the butcher and packing industry with equipment, and you got the expertise on knowing how to use it. So why don't we let you, start from the beginning when you bring a fish aboard, and how do you make that the best of it to make it as fresh as possible for as long as possible?
The main part that a lot of people don't realize is when you're vacuum packing or trying to vacuum pack with Ziploc bags, they leave air in the bags, and the air turns into freezer burn on your product when you put it in the freezer. The vacuum packaging machines, the chamber machines, the product you put in there and you put it inside the machine, it takes the air out of the chamber, seals the bag, and then releases the air back into the chamber, and it takes the air completely out of the bags. So your product does not have any oxygen in the bags, and therefore when you go to freeze them, it has no freezer burn whatsoever. And you can go up to a year with any type of vacuum packing as far as meat, fish, mm-hmm. poultry, things of that nature.
Well, I can attest to that, because when you go to Alaska once a year, and it's got to last for the whole year when you bring back the salmon and halibut, and it really does. And obviously there's a slight degradation, but usually not until after 6 or 9 months that you can even notice a difference.
Yeah, that's true. That's mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But now the process that you're describing, first of all, if you don't have good fish to start with, you're not going to end up with good fish just because you did it right.
That's true.
So the first thing you can do with the fish is what?
Well, definitely once you have them cleaned and gutted and filleted, what you want to do is rinse them off with water, pat them dry. You don't want to leave too much moisture in the bag.
Hmm.
And that's when you put them inside the bags, put the bags inside the machines. The machines do the rest of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Food savers, they're another type of vacuum machine, but they don't tend to always take all the air out of the bags.
Mm-hmm.
The chamber machines are more designed for commercial use, for mm-hmm. caterers and things of that nature.
Well, I think most people listening are familiar, with the, I guess what you call them is the sucky bags that tries to suck the air out of the bag.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
From what I understand, it'll pull it down to about 18 inches of mercury, where the chamber machine will take it down there absolute zero.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And, yep. I owned more than a couple of those before I finally gave up and got one of yours. But and what a difference. The cost of the bag, the longevity, it makes good sense. If you're going to be doing a lot, if you're an avid hunter or fisherman, as a matter of fact, it reminds me, I just lent my machine to somebody that went hunting. And he wanted to seal up his bags with it, and those vacuum bags don't do it, especially if you've got a lot, because they'll do a few pieces okay, and then they kind of heat up and they don't work so well. So it's better than nothing, but if you can get one of the chamber machines, what do they start at?
Well, the one that we have starts at $2,300.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an oil pump machine, rotary.
Oh.
And it has 10 programs on it where you can program for different products as far as pulling the vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a 12-inch seal bar, and you could fit a 10x15 bag in there easy.
Wow. Well, I know that the one I've got from you guys was one of the earlier models that's more mechanical, but I've had it for, gosh, 7-8 years. And if you amortize that, you know, over a period of time, because they don't wear out, and you never have to replace them, and the parts are available if something happens. But instead of paying, say, 35, 50 cents a bag, you're paying 7 to 10 cents a bag.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You take the major hit up front, but you make that money up in the long run with the superiority of the machine and the cheaper bags.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if there's a couple other things that, you know, some tips that you might give us on, now would you recommend putting any flavoring or anything when you vacuum seal it, either the meat or meat, the fish
I've
or meat?
I've done that in the past, actually. My son and I mix some marinades with some chicken,
mm-hmm.
and we actually vacuum packed it with the slurry.
Oh.
And it turned out very nice after we took it out of mm-hmm. We let it thaw out, mm-hmm. we took it out of the bags, mm-hmm. put it right on the grill. It was excellent.
Well, yeah. another thing that I found also is that if you use the right equipment, you can, when you go to the grocery store and buy fresh fish, it may be 3 to 5 days old or more. And, you know, I guess they call it fresh because it hasn't been frozen. But if you bring the fish home the day you catch it and put it in these vacuum bags, you can put it without freezing it in the refrigerator for 5, 7, 8 days, and it comes out just like the day you got it.
Yeah, yeah.
So freezing it works well.
Yeah, what you're mainly doing is just getting rid of all the oxygen.
Mm-hmm. And what about the material in the bags itself?
The outside of the bag is polyethylene, and the inside of the bag is nylon.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see it seal, you wonder why the outside doesn't burn like the inside and seal. It's because it's two different types of material.
Okay. Oh, I see. So you need to have that because it'll melt and seal it.
Correct.
Oh,
yep.
I see.
And yeah, the inside mm-hmm. of the bag is a nylon material, and the mm-hmm. outside is a polyethylene, which has a higher melting point.
Okay. So, oh, well, it does. And again, the kind of machine you're talking about, you know, but if you buy one of the cheaper ones, you buy 2 or 3 or 4 of those over a period of 3 or 4 years, you might as well have bought the right one the first time.
Yeah, the motors on those little machines are like the kind of motor that pumps air into a fish tank.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I know that, you know, that machine you're talking about must weigh, what, 50, 60 pounds?
It's closer to 80.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, it's the deal. And then that's the kind of machine that people use that for processing fish commercially.
Yeah, that's, you know what, and it's the best way to go because, you know, like you're saying, what you want to do, you know, you're going out there, you're paying money for fishing, you're coming back, you want that product preserved.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the only way to do that is to vacuum pack it,
right? Well,
either commercially or by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of good rods and reels, you can run you that much.
Yep.
Yeah, great. And then let's mention Butcher and Packer because you guys have almost everything. So it's Butcher, just like you, where you buy your meat from, and then Packer would be somebody that packs meat. So it's butcher-packer.com, is that right?
That's correct.
And, then,
and our website is very friendly. It's a great website. You guys should check it out.
Well, as a matter of fact, if anybody's interested in smoking fish, and maybe we'll bring you back on for that at a different time, you've got all the equipment, all the mixes, or making sausages out of almost anything. So
absolutely.
We're going to have
We have the brine for marinating and for salmon. We got the small smokers for the mm-hmm.
for
the residential guy.
And, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It's
well, we appreciate
cool.
that. We you know, unless you want to hang around for another segment, do you have time?
I'm on. I'm on my way.
Yeah, we'll
let
you go. We'll get you at another time. Thank you very much. We appreciate that, and we will get back with you, Eric. And you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and we're going to come back with Mark in a minute. But very interesting stuff about how to care for your catch. We'll be right back. Go to CorkFishTalkRadio.com.
Yeah. pub.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Sandos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
The Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-382-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep sea adventure by calling 805-382-1612.
Vagabundos del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
Dry fly, wet fly, anybody's guess. Got a knot in my leader and my
line's. Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. And that was great. And we're going to have to get those guys back on again. They really do anything that you want for processing fish and game. It's a phenomenal resource. They're very quick. Obviously, you know, you're probably not going to walk into their store because they're not a retail outlet. But they will sell to anybody, any product, a lot of the stuff in larger quantities. But I would definitely recommend to go to their website. You can spend half a day looking around and doing your Christmas shopping right there. But, Mark, let's get back to you a little bit. First of all, let's talk about Lunkerbox.
Okay. What do you want to know, John?
Well, tell us why you're doing it, what it is, how long you've been doing it, and how it works.
Lunkerbox is a relatively the new company to the scene. Obviously, we've been involved in the outdoors, fishing and hunting our entire lives. The idea, my wife actually was instrumental in coming up with the idea of starting Lunkerbox and focusing on fishing and the fishermen's needs. And so, simply put, we're a product discovery platform company, and you know, our goal is to find custom lures, lures that are made by fishermen for fishermen, get those to our subscribers that we sell monthly subscriptions to. We deliver our boxes stuffed full of these custom lures to our subscribers on a monthly basis. You know, we pride ourselves on customer service after the sale. I'm available on the phone 7 days a week for our customers out there. I try my best to give them all the advice that they may need if it's a new lure that they haven't seen before, to make sure that they have the contact information for the manufacturer and the builder of that product, so that they can order future products, you know, directly through that manufacturer. And we're in it for the long haul. I love my job. This is it's the coolest thing that I've ever done. I've come from a construction background, multi-generational on my father's side, and I'm just extremely blessed to be able to do something that I love, and to be able to do it with my wife and my son.
And well, instead of going fishing, you decided to get into the other side of it, huh?
Yeah, you know, and we do some guide trips and some different stuff like that. My son is 15 years old, and he fishes competitively for his high school team, and also does some FLW sanctioned events outside of his high school team as well. And we're really big into supporting youth. It's a huge deal. People helped me out when I was younger, and taught me things about this industry, and it's something that I definitely want to pass on. And so we've actually got a tournament tomorrow here in Austin, Texas. He fishes for the Lake Travis high school team. It's a FAN tournament, which stands for Faith Anglers Network, is what it is. And it's just a great thing to be a part of. So just really excited to be a part of that and be able to give back to to the community and pass it on.
Well, and I guess you've taken your passion. You're a bass angler also?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. And so you've probably got a little bit of experience using some of this stuff.
Yeah, lots of experience. In fact, we field test. Typically, the way that it works is our partners and the manufacturers, the vendors that we use for the products that we put into our Lunker boxes and send to our subscribers, they will send us samples of new products as they come out with them, possibly products that they feel like that aren't getting the recognition that they deserve, you know, for whatever reason. And we take and we field test every single product. And if it doesn't meet, you know, if it's not up to snuff, then we give that feedback to our, you know, to our partner, to the manufacturer, and we don't put it in the box. And so just like today, just a few minutes ago when we were speaking before the show started, I was on the water, and I'm on it almost every single day. You know, fortunately, I live really close to two lakes, to Lake Austin and to Lake Travis here in Texas, and it's not too far of a commute, but we stay hooked up to the boat more than we're unhooked from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you probably know a little bit about, I guess you call it in Texas, lures.
Yeah, explain that to me real quick. What is
Well, we call them lures. But
you're speaking about our dialect here in
yeah.
the beautiful state of Texas.
Yeah.
that's funny. And it is. It's deep. It's something that it's a deep dialect, and it's something you have or you don't. And it helps us identify people that aren't from here.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I know that one time somebody told me that you know almost everybody drives a pickup. And it's either on its way to go get the boat or it's hauling a boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The coolest thing I was going to make mention of this a minute ago. When you're married, and a lot of times, and I'm fortunate in the fact that my wife she doesn't do a lot of bass fishing, but she's a passionate saltwater angler, And I am as well, more so than I am freshwater, but because of my son's interest in freshwater, obviously we're going to support him. And he has dreams of a potentially going pro, and I don't know that there's any reason, because the sport is so, I'm not trying to get off on something else here, but related to it, the sport is so young. It's, you know, 30 plus years young, so to speak. And, I mean, I had lunch yesterday with a representative from Mercury Marine. And they're literally just waiting for him to turn 18 so that they can stick an outboard on his boat, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's just such a great deal. But if I wasn't doing this with Lunkerbox, my wife would never let me have as many fishing products,
lures,
et cetera, as I do on the kitchen table.
There you go.
It's, I feel like a 12-year-old kid sometimes. So all the stuff that we've got, especially at the end of the month when we're filling our boxes for
right.
our clients. Yeah.
Right. Well, let's get into a little bit. We're going to have plenty of time, I think, to talk about this. But I think that, you know, when you go fishing, you've got some basic components. I mean, obviously, the hook and the hook or the lure would be, you know, the single one. And then attached to that is something that attaches it to a reel and the rod. And those things all have to work together. You know, the reel has drag, which is a clutch. The rod has the bend, line has stretch, and then but you've got to hook it, and then you know that's basically what the equipment is. But in order for it to get that hook, there's got to be a reason for that. First of all, let's start with the fish itself. Why would they take a lure, or why would they take a bait?
You know, I think that's I think there's two answers to that question, and. You know, I try to stay extremely practical about everything, and the great thing about that, the outdoors, is you're able to do that. You know, be practical about what that animal or that fish is doing and why they're doing it, and then let's be humans and let's apply some science to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way that I think that we can go, and obviously we're challenged, and that's why we do it, but that's the best way that we can be humans and be at the top of the food chain. And so, you know, the fish in this instance for what we're talking about here, they're going to eat because they're genetically programmed to eat. If they don't eat, they die. If they die, then they can't reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
And on the note of reproduction, a lot of the bass baits, and it's this way with fish all across the board. You know, even your offshore fish, your bays, your fish that you catch in the flats, the reds and the speckled trout, et cetera, a predatory we call them reaction baits, and I'm sure there's other terms that you could use, but those are our reaction strikes, rather. And reaction baits get reaction strikes, and, you know, fish don't have arms. They don't have legs to kick or punch or claw or like a bear or something like that. All they have is their mouth, and they use that for protection. They protection for themselves, protection for their nests, protection for their eggs. And so I really think that those are the two main reasons why you get the lure and the hook and the fish's mouth. You know, it's either they're hungry or it's a reaction. It's a reaction bite.
Okay. So a reaction bite is what you're talking about. Because, you know, when you see advertisements and, gosh, there must be, I don't know how many hundred bait and lure manufacturers. But, you know, they keep coming out with new ones all the time. But what is it that the professional anglers use?
As far as to get a reaction strike or a bite out of a fish,
right? And are there the standards that you normally use?
You know, I would think anything that is threatening. You know, and obviously I'm not a fish, but after years and years and years of doing it, and I mean I do this 18 hours a day and get lots of feedback from lots of professional anglers. Buzz baits are a great bait. Even some topwater strikes, especially for bass when they're nesting, that can be something that can be intimidating to a fish. You know, if you drag a shadow over the top of a fish that's sitting on, you know, on its nest, and that's something that is threatening to that,
mm-hmm.
you know, to that fish. Smaller fish eat smaller things. I mean, it's just the pyramid of it. And I know that my son has gotten some great YouTube video. We're really fortunate. We've got some tanks that have some really nice largemouth bass, some tanks or ponds, whatever you want to call them, around the golf courses in mm-hmm. the neighborhood that we live in. One of his favorite things to do is to attach his GoPro mm-hmm. to his arm.
There you go.
And go, yeah, and okay. go get some film.
Yeah. See what they're doing underwater. Well, you know what? Let's talk about that. That's a great idea, but we got a lot more to talk about. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back with you, Mark. Make sure that you do go to fishtalkradio.com, and you can listen to this show and many others, and make sure that you go like us on Facebook at Fish Talk Radio. So we'll be back with you momentarily. Mark, don't go anywhere. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
I'm John Hennigan, host of Fish Talk Radio. This is Common Sense Conservation, brought to you by Santa Monica Seafood. We have Bob Wade from Santa Monica Seafood. Bob, what do we have going today?
The question on the table is about the life cycle and the return of how salmon, with their indigenous blueprint on their brain, perform a great value for us in the dining world to have a consistent, sustainable resource. As we know, salmon are produced in fresh water, small amount of time in rivers. They migrate out to the ocean, and they spend anywhere between 3 and 5 years in an environment in the ocean, living, breathing, until Mother Nature rings an intrinsic bell in their head to return to their river of birth. Very interesting opportunity. And the more that we can return to the ocean on birth, obviously through water, making sure rivers have plenty, impediments like hydro impingements, dams, is going to allow more to return to the nature that they were born and raised in. We harvest these animals as they return to finish the life cycle in a saltwater environment. They'll return to a freshwater environment, complete life cycle with a long endurance migration back up through freshwater to breed and then perish. But even with their perishing, they will supply into the back into the life cycle of our river systems that will supply animal life, protein life to sustain the river systems that we've become so used to enjoying.
Santa Monica Seafoods works for sustainable fisheries.
Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we do have Mark from, we're going to talk a little bit about the Lunker Box, that he's a professional angler. He knows a little bit about lures, or I guess in Texas they say lures, and then we haven't talked about live bait, dead bait, or fresh bait, or plastics, or buzzes, but you know, well, the thing that I kind of get the sense, Mark, that there's a lot of people that manufacture lures that catch anglers, but they don't do such a good job of catching fish. You know, you see the ones where they have advertised it rattles, it buzzes, it drives fish crazy, and you know, it's because, God, that seems to make sense. I think I'll try that. But you know, you don't see the professional bass anglers getting stuff that if you send in and get it on TV and with free shit or just pay shipping and handling or something. But so we would like to go back over that a little bit about, you know, some of the standards. But let's start off with why they take the bait in the first place. You did mention that it can be kind of a reactionary strike, and that would be as a matter of defense. So like if a bass is on its nest and it's got eggs and it's trying to protect the nest and something comes by, then, you know, they, like I said, they can't punch it or run away, and they've only got one defense. And what is that?
Well, obviously that would be their mouths. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think something, we didn't make mention of it earlier, but I should have. It's, you know, a lot of it, in my opinion, is territorial as well. And that goes for, you know, for breeding purposes, just for survival purposes in general, you know, to be able to mark out. And that's just a natural thing that every animal, even humans, your yard is your yard. And And, you know, I think that a lot of the reaction bites are based off of, hey, you're here, I'm bigger than you, or, you know, you're not going to eat my bait fish, you're not going to breed with my mates, and you're not going to eat my potential children. So
I'm going to eat you.
Yeah, the only thing I can do is eat you before you eat me.
Yeah.
that old adage there, you know.
Right. So let's just say that you've got a let's take a bass, but it doesn't have to be a bass that's sitting on a nest. And so you would have usually what, smaller fish that would go after the eggs or after the nest?
Yeah, I've actually seen small sunfish, and I'm talking, you know, probably an inch and three quarters, inch and three quarter long, almost act like a gang.
Oh.
And taunt a bass. I mean, I've seen it and watched it multiple times. So it'll be a bass, and he's sitting on that nest, and those small fish will
try and
come
pull
up.
Him off. Yeah.
Yeah, but one will come to pull him off, and he'll go for that one, and then the other one will swoop in. And we've all seen fish work together. We've seen them bait balls up mm-hmm. with tuna and you know, and wahoo, et cetera. And they're working together. I don't think they had a meeting prior to, but, you know, it's natural.
Instinctively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he'll start chasing those off. And then I've tied on a lure, a fluke or something that resembled that, you know, that fish that was taunting that bass,
uh-huh.
and had it hit it when it wouldn't hit anything else.
Yeah,
you know?
So it's not necessarily matching the hatch, but you're matching, you know, what's, you know, that the bass is, you know, is after to get rid of.
Sure, absolutely. You know, and that's just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that I wish that the powers that be is the wrong way to put it, but I wish there was some more time spent research about things of that nature versus what you were saying, you know, the research that's being spent, the money and time by these tackle companies, because I know it is being spent, the research that catches my eye when I walk through a Bass Pro Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're fishing, you have to fish for your client as well. You know, I see their point on that, but, you know, the biologist in me just wants to know a little bit more about what makes those fish make reaction bites and things of that nature. You know?
Okay. Well, we talked about guarding the nest is a reaction strike, and again, you know, what's the main purpose of a fish to survive? How does it do that? I mean, what's their role in life?
Well, their role in life is to, you know, is obviously to eat and make sure that they're there,
right?
To rear their young
and
continue the, right. the species, and it's burnt into their DNA.
Right. So their job is to eat, and like you said, they can't they can't go to a restaurant and order what they want, and they can't sit on a couch and have somebody bring it to them. So they got to go look for it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is unsaid. You know, I mean, you watch any animal, to jump to deer and dogs mm-hmm. and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
They don't have to fight for them to establish a hierarchy. But I do know that we're talking about bass, so I'll use that as an example, that bass is not stupid, and it knows that it only has so much area in that water, and it can only hold so much to eat. Its refrigerator, so to speak, is only so big. And, you know, if other bass are threatening that, I don't know how they communicate with each other, but I've seen bass chase off other bass as well,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, so how do they, if they're looking for something to eat, what senses do they use to find it?
Well, obviously, I think, and you brought up a good point earlier when we were talking at the start of the segment, you know, when it's dark, but my knee jerk would be to say, would be sight, if they're able to see. Yeah, you know, I think most predatory animals, and fish included, are hunt off of sight. You catch a flash of movement, and then automatically your other senses kick in. You know, so you've got sight, you've got smell, you know, possibly taste, which I don't taste associated with smell. You know, in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where it would start. I'm sure there's some other senses that I'm not mm-hmm. completely well versed in, but I would think that would be the foundation of what would.
They have olfactory, but they don't have noses, and then the lateral lines are apparently very critical, and is that where they get vibrations and sense when there's other fishing around is by the movement in the water, the vibration.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's something that we've just scratched the surface on scientifically, because, you know, a trolling motor has a vibrate. It has a vibration, but it's not the same vibration as another mm-hmm. fish, obviously, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, those two different vibrations are recognized mm-hmm. by that fish. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about they strike for protection or guarding their territory. They will strike because they're hungry. And I guess, you know, those would be the, you know, would be the kind of the primary reasons. And smell has to have something. I mentioned if you're down in 200 to 300 feet of water fishing for halibut, they can't see it, so they must be able to smell it.
Sure. And each species of fish is going to rely, depending on its environment and what its what environment it's genetically programmed to live in, 200, 300 feet of water. I think that their sense, whatever that sense is going to be stronger because of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No,
you know,
I mean,
a halibut's not going to rely as much on his eyesight because he doesn't need to, and it doesn't apply to his involvement. And so that just goes back to, you know, evolution, mm-hmm. the, you know, the basic principle of how that mm-hmm. species has evolved to survive when other species have not in that particular environment, you mm-hmm. know?
Well, you're talking about smell also. You know, there's a lot of rumors and, you know, in urban legends, everybody, you know, the fish scent, you know, of course, WD-40, you're supposed to spray that anything and it catches fish. I don't know if that's true, but I kind of doubt that it's that real. But if you take a plastic bait and you know that's been sitting in a plastic bag and you take it out, is it going to smell, you know, like something natural?
You know, in my opinion, absolutely not. And I've never been able to get past that. And you know, everyone's got an opinion, and it goes both ways. And I've had lots of high-level conversations with lots of really intelligent anglers and outdoorsmen. And, you know, I mean, you can look at the bag, you can open the bag, you can handle some soft plastics by some wonderful companies, and your hands are greasy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you definitely don't want to wipe your white shirt with those hands. Mm-hmm. And well, I just know that as that, right. you know, again, to use bass, as that right. fish approaches that bait, it's got to taste
well,
that.
Yeah, what about the scent from your hands? Is that important at all?
I think it's extremely important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think anything that's foreign, and that's my problem with it's not a problem, but that's my point of contention with the petroleum-based soft plastics, because that particular scent is foreign in that environment, you know. And you can take it, I think anything that's foreign, that some things may be attracted that are foreign, you know, but in my opinion, I like to keep everything as close to what that fish is used to seeing on a day-to-day basis mm-hmm. as possible, you know, and it's not used to smelling nail polish or bologna on mm-hmm. this on your hand,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, no, I think that's all. Things are keep getting more and more complicated. But we talked about all the different lures that are available out there. But you know, would you say that, you know, the basics that are tried and true are probably the best way to go, even if they don't seem to be working, they're still the best bet?
Yeah, every single time. And if you spend a lot of time and you listen to what, especially, you know, some of these bass pros, you know, Greg Hackney, Kevin Van Dam, Mike Iaconelli. You know, and you look and listen to them, they will tell you, you know, they're carrying three simple colors, and they vary, you know, but typically they've got, you know, some type of, you know, watermelon pumpkin seed, obviously mm-hmm. a black, a chartreuse. I mean, and those are their, they all kind of stay around the main central colors, and there's definitely deviations there. I think anglers in general, and I'm guilty of this myself, and it doesn't matter what species I'm targeting.
Right.
We would like to... We always think there's a reason why.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's fishing. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But I think we're coming to the close of this one. But before we go, your website is?
It's lunkerbox.com.
Just one word, lunkerbox.com.
Correct.
Okay.
Very simple.
And then you've got a great program going. We don't have time to go into it right now, but it's all over your website. So I want to make sure you do that. And then make sure you listen to us on fishtalkradio.com and visit us on Facebook at Fish Talk Radio. We appreciate that. Mark, we're going to be talking to you some more. So we're going to end this particular segment, and we will appreciate you tuning in.